Jeremiah 36 today. I think it's a familiar passage to most of us. It's the time that Jeremiah was commanded to write a scroll of all of the judgments of God up to this point. We'll find some interesting applications and implications as to what this teaches us about man's attitude toward the Word of God. Let's begin in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you that you have not left us in darkness, but that you have given us the light of your Word. And we ask today that your Spirit would be our teacher, that we would know you more fully, that we would see the Lord Jesus Christ in the pages of this book, and that our heart would be moved and our mind would be renewed so that we would do the things that are pleasing in your sight and so bring glory to your great and holy name. We thank you that even though we are great sinners, your grace was more than abundant to forgive our sins. And we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ provided that propitiation whereby your wrath was satisfied. And we thank you that you in great power raised him from the dead and have given us a living hope. And we pray that as we have length of days upon this earth, we would use them for the honor and the glory of our great Savior and God, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 1, it says this is the fourth year of King Jehoiakim. Now what's interesting about this is in Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, it says that in the third year of King Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar came and took captives from Jerusalem. And in Jeremiah 25, verse 1, it says the fourth year of Jehoiakim was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar is running rampant through the nations, taking captives and territory through conquering. And Jeremiah has been making a lot of promises through the Lord about the coming judgments. And yet Jehoiakim, even though he has seen the reality of this taking place in its inception, still doesn't believe it. So there's a command at this time to Jeremiah in verse 2. He is to take a scroll. And he is to write on that scroll everything that God has promised about his judgments. There are judgments that are on Judah. There are judgments upon Israel. And there are judgments upon the nation. Verse 2 says, take a scroll and write on it all the words which I have spoken to you concerning Israel and concerning Judah and concerning the nations from the day I first spoke to you, from the days of Josiah even until this day. Now, how in the world is Jeremiah supposed to remember everything that the Lord has told him from the days of Josiah? Well, this is a testimony to the reality that the Word of God, the Word of Jeremiah, is not the Word of Jeremiah. It's the Word of God. God is the one who moved him to remember these things and to record them in a book, in a scroll. Jeremiah is a pretty long book. And Jeremiah was asked to write everything that God had told him about his promised judgments. Why did God want to do that? It says in verse 3, perhaps the house of Judah will hear in all the calamity which I plan to bring on them, in order that every man will turn from his evil way, and I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. It was God's hope, as it says in this passage, and we have to understand that God is communicating to us in a way that we can understand. The purpose is that Judah would hear. He says, perhaps the house of Judah will hear. And if they heard and understood, number two, Judah would repent and believe. Sort of like the Ninevites under the teaching of Jonah. Perhaps Judah would hear, and then Judah would repent and believe. It says in order that every man would turn from his evil way, and then number three, God would forgive their iniquities and sin. Why did God send the prophets to the people? To get them to repent, to believe, so that he could heal them. That was the purpose of writing this scroll that Jeremiah was commanded to write. So Jeremiah obeys the Lord. He does not write the book himself. Verse 4 says Jeremiah dictated to Baruch all the words of God. And as a scribe, Baruch took down everything that Jeremiah told him and wrote the scroll that Jeremiah was commanded to write. And then Jeremiah, it says in verse 4, then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote a scroll at the dictation of Jeremiah, all the words that the Lord, which he had spoken to him. And then verse 5 says, Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am restricted, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. They had done mean-spirited things to Jeremiah, and one of the things that they had done was they had kept Jeremiah from going to the temple. So, letter B, Jeremiah sent Baruch to speak to the people in the temple. It says in verse 6, so you go and read from the scroll which you have written at my dictation, the words of the Lord to the people in the Lord's house on a fast day, and also you shall read them to the people of Judah who come from their cities. And the hope, again, verse 7, perhaps their supplication will come before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way, for great is the anger and the wrath that the Lord has pronounced against his people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading from the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. The hope was that everyone will turn from his evil way, will repent. And God would relent of his wrath. Now, God is not a man that he should change. But God has means as well as ends. And he was moving in a way, if you will, to get the people to repent so that he could relent of his wrath. Unfortunately, the people of Israel did not believe, did not hear, did not make supplication, did not turn from their evil ways, and God did not relent of his wrath. Baruch's obedience. Baruch read the scroll. And it says, now in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, all the people in Jerusalem and all the people who came from the cities of Judah to Jerusalem proclaimed a fast to the Lord. This is the time that Jeremiah asked Baruch to read the scroll, so he did. Now when Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, had heard all the words of the Lord from the book, he went down to the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and behold, all the officials were sitting there. And there's a list of the officials. And Micaiah declared to them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read from the book to the people. So Micaiah read the scroll to the officials. So it's trickling down, so to speak, or trickling up. And what was the reaction of the officials? Then all the officials sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, and the son of Cushi, to Baruch, saying, take in your hand the scroll which you have read to the people and come. And Baruch the son of Neriah took the scroll in his hand and went to them. And they said, sit down, please, and read it to us. They had heard it from Micaiah, but now they want to hear the whole scroll from Baruch. When they had heard the words, they turned in fear to one another and said to Baruch, we will surely report all these words to the king. What was the first reaction of the officials? They listened. Some people won't even listen. These people at least listened. And the second reaction, they feared. These are the people to whom God will look, as it says in Isaiah 66, verse 2. Though God reigns in the heavens and on the earth, and no one can keep him from accomplishing his will, nevertheless, to this one he will look. To him who is humble and contrite in heart and who trembles at his word. These people feared the word of the Lord. What was the third thing they did? He said, we shall surely report all these words to the king. In other words, the king needs to hear these words because he's the top guy and he needs to tell everybody else to get in line as well. The fourth thing they did was they began wondering where this came from. And they asked Baruch, tell us, how did you write these words? Was it at his dictation? Did you write these words from Jeremiah, or did you come up with them on your own? They wanted to know the source of the scroll. And it was Jeremiah as a prophet of the Lord speaking the word of God. And then the fifth thing they did, and this is sort of strange, is they told Baruch to hide himself. Why would they tell Baruch to hide himself? Because they didn't know what the response of the king was going to be. And they sort of understood that the response that man has to the word of God is either one of submission or one of hatred and attack. So, Baruch, you hide yourself, and we'll come get you depending on how the king thinks about it. So here's the report to the king. Verse 20, so they went to the king in the court, but they had deposited the scroll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and they reported all the words to the king. Then the king sent Jehudi to get the scroll, and he took it from the chamber of Elishama, the scribe. And Jehudi read it to the king, as well as to all the officials who stood beside the king. So Jehudi is the reader of the scroll. He is the one who tells King Jehoiakim what Jeremiah has been saying for all these years. In verse 22, the king was sitting in the winter place in the ninth month with the fire burning in the fireplace before him. When Jehudi read three or four columns, didn't take long, the king cut it with a scribe's knife and threw it into the fire which was in the fireplace until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was in the fireplace. What did the king not do? It says that he did not fear. He did not fear the judgments that were coming upon him, even though he is beginning to experience them. Nebuchadnezzar has already attacked Jerusalem and taken prisoners. But the king did not fear. And in fact, what he did do was he took a knife and he cut it and he threw it into the fire. Verse 24, yet the king and all of his servants who heard these words were not afraid, nor did they rend their garments. What's another thing that King Jehoiakim didn't do? He didn't listen to a lot of it. after three or four columns, three or four chapters, there's 52 chapters in Jeremiah. After three or four chapters, he said, I've had enough of this. I don't even want to listen to this. He didn't fear. He cut the scroll and he threw it into the fire. Verse 25, even though Elnathan and these other men pleaded with the king not to burn the scroll, he would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jeremiah, the son of all these people, to seize Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Baruch was hidden from the Lord just like the officials had told him to. So is that the end of the book of Jeremiah? No. Verse 27 says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after the king had burned the scroll and the words which Baruch had written at the dictation of Jeremiah, saying, take another scroll. And write on it all the former words that were on the first scroll which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. Again, they didn't listen the first time. Why do I have to do this again? There's a story of a missionary, I'm sure it's a true story, I don't mean to say it's fiction, that this missionary had translated the New Testament into the language of this people that never had a written language. And he stored them all in a shed, and the shed caught fire and burned all the translations. And his response was, I guess the Lord wanted it done better the second time. So he translated the New Testament a second time into the language of these people. Sometimes the Lord asks us to do things a second time, even though we thought it was good enough the first. And the Lord wanted some things added to this scroll. Some extra judgments, if you will. It says in verse 28, take again another scroll and write on it the former words that were on the first scroll which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, has burned. And concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, you shall say, thus says the Lord, you have burned the scroll, saying, why have you written on it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and will make man and beast to cease from it. Now think about it. Why had Jeremiah written on that scroll that the king of Babylon would come to Jerusalem and destroy it? Why had Jeremiah written on the scroll those things? That they would repent and they wouldn't happen. But Jehoiakim doesn't get it. He doesn't get it at all. He rebels against the Lord completely, doesn't listen to the word of God, burns it up, and then wants to know why there are judgments coming on him. Of course, we're not a whole lot different. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have no one to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat of the day and the frost of the night. His descendants will not sit on the throne of David. His burial will be one of shame, not one of honor, which it should have been for a king of Judah. And his children will be punished for their iniquity. I will also punish him and his descendants and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring on them and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the men of Judah all the calamity that I have declared to them. But they did not listen. So what did Jeremiah do? He took another scroll. He dictated it to Baruch. They wrote it down. They added the judgments that God had against Jehoiakim. and many similar words were added to them. So this is an interesting story in chapter 36 of Jeremiah. And there's many things that it teaches us, and you'll be free in a few minutes. We're way ahead of schedule. This always happens when my wife has breakfast. I always release the people early. God's Word. What does this teach us about God's Word and the righteous? It says the righteous are ready to do almost anything for the truth of God's Word. Jeremiah was willing to write this thing twice. Baruch was willing to read it in front of the officials. The officials were willing to read it in front of the king, even though there might be trouble there. The righteous hold to the Word of God. They believe it. They fear. And it causes them to repent. But what is the wicked's response to the Word of God? They hate it. And one of the things that gets me about Jehoiakim here is he is just as arrogant as the day is long. Can you imagine somebody taking the Word of God and taking a knife and just slashing it and throwing it in the fire? What arrogance that your understanding and your perception of reality is more correct than God's. But the wicked hate God's Word because it tells them of their wickedness. That's why Jehoiakim hated the Word. That's why he didn't fear. It's because it pointed to him. He was the king of the nation, and he was the one that Nebuchadnezzar had already taken captives through. And what's the Lord's attitude toward his Word? You can do all you want to try to destroy it. And you will never destroy the Word of God. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will not pass away. And though I would say that the Old Testament is not regulatory, that it is revelatory, it will not pass away. It continually teaches us of the truth of God, the truth of man, and the truth of the righteous and the wicked. And this passage, this chapter also teaches us of the purposes of God. What is the purpose of God for the righteous? That they take the Word of God to everyone. To the high-ranking officials, even to the king. To the people who were in the temple. To everyone. And what is the purpose of God for the wicked through his Word? One is that they would hear, they would listen, and they would repent and believe. But his other purpose is that if you will not hear, if you will not listen, if you will not repent and believe, you will be judged. Romans 2 says, the kindness of the Lord should lead you to repentance. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you were storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath and the revelation of God's righteous judgment. First Corinthians talks about the Word of God being foolishness to the unregenerate man. 1 Corinthians 1 says the teaching of the cross is a stumbling block to the Jews and is foolishness to the Greeks. Why is it a stumbling block to the Jews? Their Messiah was supposed to be a conquering king, and now he is a dead Messiah on a cross, though now risen from the dead. How can the one who was to deliver us die on a cross? That doesn't make any sense. I can't put it together. And why is the teaching of Jesus on the cross foolishness to the Greeks? Because that is the ultimate sign of weakness. A mere criminal hung on a cross. I can't believe that. That would be foolishness. But to those who are being saved, the teaching of the cross is the power of God. There's a completely different understanding of the cross by those who are being saved. The righteous see things in the truth of the Word of God that the wicked can't see. The wicked think that it's by might and by presence and by prestige that a person obtains honor. But the truth of the matter is, it is those who are nothing, who are chosen of God, that shame those that are. Jeremiah was a nothing in the eyes of men. He was restricted from going to the temple to read the scroll himself. He had to send Baruch to read the scroll. He was a nothing. He was a malefactor. But he was willing to write the truth of God twice at the command of God so that the Word of God would remain even with us until this day. But the wicked want nothing to do with God's Word. Just cut it with a knife and throw it into the fire. Get it out of my life. I want nothing to do with it. So even though Jeremiah chapter 36 was written many years ago, it still speaks to us of the character of the Word of God, the character of God, and how man responds to it. As we've gone through this chapter, there may have been many things that you had questions on or things that came into your mind, and so now's the time for you to comment on things that you would like to share, Paul.